Aldous Huxley wrote The Perennial Philosophy. That was his thought. How does that tie in with what you've done?
Well, pretty much it's his perennial philosophy, which, by the way, he wrote about, but he didn't create it. It was something that's been around for centuries. But he did a magnificent job of summarizing the inner esoteric beliefs. In other words, the beliefs of all the mystics from all the religions of the world. He found that there are commonalities, that there's some essential truths that are the same that the mystics of all religions will tell you. And those are three. First is that the physical universe of matter is not the sole reality, that there are other realities beyond the physical universe. The second is that our human nature is both a material side and a material physical side and a spiritual side. And the third is that we really have the ability to intuitively perceive our own spiritual nature. Unfortunately, that's pretty dormant in the society at large today. But those are the three great truths that he sees emerging from the comparison of the reports of the mystics of all the world's religions as to what reality is all about.
Tell me about the God that you're proposing.
Well, the God I'm proposing is a being that's beyond space, beyond time, something that's simultaneously greater than infinity and less than zero, something unimaginable, but a God who, for some reason, chooses to create a universe in order to have experience. And I think the whole point of our being here is so that God can enter into reality, into physical reality, in the form of us and all the other life forms, put his consciousness into these creatures that we are, and thereby experience reality. Now, is that something that God would do just for fun? Well, maybe, but that seems a little bit frivolous. Maybe there's a real purpose behind it, even for God himself. That might be that he's seeking to evolve himself through us, through the kinds of lives that we live and the experiences that we have. So that's the view of God that I come up with that I think is consistent with what Aldous Huxley writes about in his perennial philosophy.
And I also, my thoughts also differ from the Bible in that I don't believe God is a violent creator at all. I don't think God tries to kill. I don't think God sends floods to ruin people. What about you?
Oh, there you are. I agree with you 100%. I mean, I think some of the things you find in the Bible are simply true. It's simply awful. There's a little verse in Deuteronomy that comes to mind. It goes something like this. The man discovers on his wedding night that his bride is not a virgin, he must stone her to death on her father's doorstep. Now, can you really believe that God said that? I don't believe for a minute that God said that.
No.
That kind of God I cannot possibly worship.
Man would, but not God.
Exactly. It's the dark side of the human imagination you find rejected onto God many times.
And it sounds like you're much more spiritual than religious, right?
That's right. I grew up as a Catholic, and I still consider myself culturally a Christian. My wife and I sing in a church choir, an Episcopal choir. But really, the belief is kind of an independent belief that we are spiritual beings, that there's a God who is not just close to us, but a God who really is us, is living through us, a God that cares about what we do, but it also experiences what we do. And I think that we have more than one lifetime to experience reality, and that our spirit can live elsewhere beyond the earth, or perhaps in some future incarnation. So it's a bit different than the standard view of Christianity that you find in Christianity. But it's a belief that is very compatible with science, because nothing I'm saying now, it all conflicts with what we know about science. You know, I believe in the Big Bang. I believe in evolution. I think all these things are an essential aspect of creating the kind of life forms that fulfill God's purpose. And so I think there's no conflict that I see between this view of science, or this view of spirituality, and the view of science that I have as a scientist.
What's it going to take, Bernard, to get most scientists on the bandwagon of supreme intelligence?
I don't know. It's a good question, because there's an awful lot of bad blood between science and religion going back through history, and for good reason. It's been a pretty bloody history. It was, in many cases. And science, of course, has done a very successful thing. I mean, the world works based on science. My computer, our talking here tonight on the radio stations, is definitely proof that science works. So you can't argue against that. But the problem is when science projects its knowledge beyond the rightful domain of the physical universe and tries to draw conclusions that simply are inappropriate. And I think that most scientists are just very busy people who understand the universe in depth and in their own areas of expertise, and so they don't really have time to look at things beyond that, which is a shame, because I think to look beyond that is where you have to is where you have to look to come up with a metaphysics and philosophy of life that makes sense.
As you wrote The Purpose and then The God Theory, two great works, by the way, what, as you were doing your research for it, was there anything out there that really stood out for you? Something that you said, yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, it's the idea, yeah, that I've only come to recently, that perhaps the whole thing has to do with the evolution not just of ourselves as creatures, but perhaps of God himself. I think that perhaps our mission in life is to assist God in his own perfection. And that's something that's fairly new in my thinking, and I'm still mulling that over.
You going to ever get the answer?
Probably not. But, you know, do I have any answers? You know, I'm not proposing that I have answers to these questions, but I certainly have some thoughts about lots of questions.
You know, with CERN, they're looking for, of course, the God particle and, you know, the Higgs boson. Do you think they'll find it? And if they do, what are they really going to learn about it?
Well, I don't know whether they will or not. I'm kind of hoping they don't, because a few years ago, I had a NASA contract to study some aspect of physics that didn't require a Higgs particle. We were investigating the possibility that the inertia of matter could be explained by the quantum vacuum instead of the Higgs particle. And, of course, it would be very nice if the Higgs particle were not found, because we have this alternate view that, merits some further explanation. But it's likely they'll find it, because it's a very concerted effort, and if it exists, they'll find it. So it's a very exciting time to see what develops there at CERN.
Yeah, I think so, too. It's an exciting time in general to be in science, isn't it?
It is. It's an exciting time, but I've got to say, in physics, it's also kind of a precarious time, because physics has been at kind of a standstill almost for the last 20 or 30 years in terms of fundamental discoveries, not, of course, in terms of application. I mean, the last 20 or 30 years, I've seen an explosion of computers and the Internet and all sorts of technologies. I'm talking about the basics, understanding the basics. The standard model of physics hasn't changed much in 20, 25, 30 years. And so unless some brand new discovery occurs at CERN, either the Higgs particle is found or it's not found and other things are found that we hadn't even expected, unless that happens, physics is in kind of a difficult state of affairs at the moment. It's biology that's rising to the forefront in our society as the premier science.
What are we going to find, though? Thinking of the God theory, for example, what are we going to find out there maybe in the next 5 or 10 years that just changes our entire thought of what we've been thinking in the past?
Well, you know, I think the thing that can make the biggest difference, and I don't think it's going to be 5 or 10 years, I think it'll be longer than that, but I think in this century, I think we're going to discover that really consciousness is the primary stuff of reality. It's not that science is looking for consciousness to rise out of the brain. Somehow the brain, all its complexity, generates something called consciousness, which is supposed to be something a bit different from physical, and yet it rises out of the physical. And that's the way science has been looking at consciousness for decades. I think that's backwards. I think we have a consciousness at the root of the universe itself. In fact, Sir James Jeans wrote, he was an astrophysicist from the last century, the universe begins to look more like a great thought than like a great machine. And I think having that become our reality, the universe is a great thought, and the laws of nature as ideas that were put into place by an intelligence, I think that perspective on things would be the biggest change I could imagine for science, and in fact for the whole world's philosophy.